We start hour number 3. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Lots to get done. Coming up in about 35 minutes, I've got a running back for Stanford, Bryce Love. Meantime, I am live in Southern California. I'm broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Telephone number is toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. Right now, we start hour number 3 with a conversation with the driver of the number 2 Team Penske Ford, 2012 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion, 2010 NASCAR Xfinity Series champion. 6 top 10s in 9 playoff races this year, 3 Monster Energy Series wins this year, 24 career wins in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, and championship 4 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Ford EcoBoost 400 Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Lots to cover. Brad Keselowski is my guest. Brad, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for having me on. I'm driving through the streets of New York City here, and can't think of a better guy to be talking to. Love your show.
My man, that's great. I appreciate you saying that, Brad. I did the exact same thing, except I wasn't driving myself, but I was in those same streets this past weekend. How are those streets treating you today?
You know, traffic's not bad. It's one of those good days. So we'll take it. We're doing the media tour to prepare for this weekend's race, and you know, so much going on and such a great opportunity to win a championship. And, you know, I've won one before and got a great opportunity to win a second one. So ready to make it happen.
Brad Keselowski joining us. All right, take me back to before the start of Sunday's race. You knew a spot in the championship 4 was on the line, and the guys like Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott could have a good look at it as well. So what were you thinking before that race, and what was the plan going in?
Well, I think the plan for us was we needed to just have a solid day, and we needed one of the best cars out there, the 11 car of Denny Hamlin, to not win the race. And we didn't have the greatest of days possible. In fact, we had pretty much an awful day, but we caught a little bit of a break when the 11 car had an incident, and we were able to advance from there. So really a little bit of good fortune. You know, the way that the NASCAR playoffs work, you have 3 races to put up your best results, and if you win, you're automatically advanced. And we weren't able to pull that off in Phoenix, but we had 2 great races the weeks before in Dallas, Texas, and Martinsville, Virginia, that gave us kind of enough equity to be ahead and have that opportunity. So we felt real fortunate.
No, Brad, like in any sport, there are going to be days when maybe you don't have your very best, and you've got to find a way to grind through it. You have to find a way to win. As an example, you said after the race that you knew you didn't have the speed that you would have liked on Sunday. So when you know that, how does that impact how you approach it, and what do you try to do during the race?
Well, I think probably the best analogy I can give you is that, you know, when you know you're in those situations, just try not to beat yourself. And if I was to explain that to a football fan as for what it means in racing, that means when it's 4th and long, you punt. And, you know, you settle in and you try to make smart moves that maybe don't win you the game, but they don't lose you either. And they keep you in contention for when you do have things clicking. So, you know, that's tough to do sometimes. I mean, everybody likes to throw the Hail Marys. Nobody wants to go down without swinging, but sometimes you have to play smart. And that was the key for us this past weekend. But now we got to get back on offense and hit it hard for Miami this weekend if we want to win the championship.
Brad Keselowski joining us. One more thing about that. You said afterwards that maybe you did catch some breaks to get into the championship 4 on Sunday, but is there any part of you that feels like that's just the break that we needed? Now we're in a spot where we can capitalize. Like maybe the breaks are a sign that this could be your year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Jim. You know, I always say in racing it takes, you know, 3 things to win. And really it's not just racing. It's about every sport. For us, it takes talent or speed. It takes great execution on the racetrack, which means, you know, hitting everything, hitting your marks right, the pit crew doing their job and assembling the car the proper way. And then there's, you know, let's face it, in life, there are breaks that can make or break you. And for us, you know, you might call that luck. Everybody has a different way of explaining it. And when you can get all 3 of those going in your favor, that's when you're going to be a winner. And when you have any one of those against you, you're not going to win. So, you know, we caught a good break last week. We've had weeks where we've had the speed. We've had weeks where we've had the execution. If we can have a week of all 3 in Miami, we're sure to win.
We're talking to Brad Keselowski. Now, the last few years, you've gone to Homestead without a chance at the title. God, how much better does it feel right now to be going back there knowing that everything is on the line? This is what you've worked so hard for.
Oh, man, it's incredible. That's what you live for, you know, in a competitive environment. You never know how many of these opportunities you're going to get. You want to make the most out of each and every one of them. It's almost a bit of a tragedy we haven't made it the last 3 years because we've gotten all the way to the end, and We've blown apart an engine. We've broke apart things on the car, and we've crashed out in the last 3 years. It just feels like nothing else can go your way. And finally, we caught a little bit of a break this past weekend, and it just feels like you said, that if you can catch any little break, it feels like it's your turn, it's your chance.
Brad, you're looking ahead, and you never rest on your laurels, but the fact is you do have that championship. You won it back in 2012. When you look back on the feeling of winning that title and that year, what do you remember most? What comes to mind first?
A lot of beer. I drink a lot of beer
Good.
That night.
I like
it. My memory is not that great, Jim.
Good.
But it was a lot of fun.
I like
it. You know, championships are hard to come by. And so, you know, when you do win them, you got to make sure you have a heck of a party to celebrate. So I remember a little bit more about the party than it is.
My man, I got a few moments like that, too. And then I always look back and I think to myself, man, if I had not gone quite so hard, I might have a better recollection. But I know exactly what you're talking about. Before I let you go, Brad, the other three guys in the championship four are Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, and Kyle Busch. When you think of those three guys, what kind of thoughts do come to mind?
Well, you know, Martin, he's actually sitting next to me right now. I'm going to give a good ribbon. But, you know, he hasn't won a championship before, but he's won the majority of the races on the style of track that Miami is. He's going to be tough to beat. Kevin Harvick, he's won a championship here a few years ago, along with Kyle Busch, and they both run very well there. It's a tough crowd. I mean, it's the cream of the crop. We're going to have to do everything right. You have to be perfect. There's not going to be any gimmies this week in Miami, and you know what? That's what we like. When you win, anything you win in life, you want to know that you've beaten the best, and if we're able to pull it off this weekend, we should for sure have beaten the best, and that's what I think playoffs should be about.
Brad, one last question. You're a finalist for the 2017 Comcast Community Champion Award, and when that was tweeted out, Dale Jr. retweeted it with a nice note. You paid tribute to him last month with your paint scheme. What has Dale Jr. meant to you and to that entire sport?
Crazy. It's been crazy.
Well, quite simply, Jim, without Dale Jr., I don't know where my career would be. He gave me one of my first opportunities in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, which is somewhat of a development series for NASCAR, the second tier. You could almost look at it like a college football or college athletics for motorsports. And that opportunity propelled my career to where I'm at now with Team Penske and having an elite ride. And he took a chance on me when really no one else would. So I don't know where my career would be without Dale Jr. Maybe I would have made it, some other path. Maybe I would. I'm glad I didn't have to find out. And for that, I'm forever in debt for him.
It's a huge weekend. Championship 4, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, Ford EcoBoost 400 is Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Brad Keselowski right in the middle of the whole thing. Brad, great to get caught up, and always good to have you on this show. Thank you very much, Brad. Good luck to you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, Jim, and good luck with everything on your show. Hope to see you at a race again soon. That was great when you were in Texas a few years ago.
That was fun. We'll do it. We'll do it. I'd love to get back. Brad Keselowski joining us. That was a good time, too, in Texas. All right. 1-800-636-8686. That was a good time. My time at the Brickyard was awesome. I did not break the pace car at the Brickyard. And Texas was fun. Man, Brad Keselowski is 100% class. But then again, almost everybody that I have on this show from NASCAR is 100% class. Which is why I always drop the disclaimer after we do one of those interviews.
Good guy, top performer. They know what they're doing.
Respects the fans.
There's no better league to deal with than NASCAR.
Gives back, appreciates the sport, has time for the fans.
And NASCAR has won me over.
I like it. I get it.
They call on time. They do good interviews. They have good attitudes. It's big. It's not going away.
Good interview, shows up on time.
Every one of those guys is like that.
It won me over. I will say for the record once again, I've done a 180.
He's not Tony Stewart. Rusty Wallace is my favorite guest. And if it's not Rusty Wallace, it's Clint Boyer and his bus driver, Curtis.
I did not break the pace car.
Carl Edwards, class act, Trevor Bayne. The best energy, and I love Jeff Gordon. I can't pick favorites, but Jimmy Johnson's my favorite. And Brad Keselowski is right there. Jimmy Johnson is my favorite. I don't play favorites. I don't pick favorites. Jimmy Johnson's my favorite. And I like all those guys. And that one part of the disclaimer where I jump in with, he's not Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart's the only NASCAR driver in the history of that sport to say no to coming on this program, which is fine. It actually makes me respect and like Smokey even more. I'd be very disappointed if he ever said yes. Because there's not always has to be somebody who says no. The day that everybody wants to be on this show is a bad day. That's the day that I'm not doing my job. I don't want everybody to say yes. It's a huge misnomer in my life and my career. certain athletes will say, the only reason Rome has cracked me is because I won't do his show. We don't understand is I don't want everybody to want to do the show. Fact. I don't care if you say yes or no. Now, let me retract that. If you say yes, I appreciate it, and I really respect it, and I really appreciate it because I do need some interviews. I don't need a ton of interviews, but I need some interviews. I need for some people to say yes, but I don't want everybody to say yes. Anyway, that's an explanation of that. That's why everybody's hyped except for Smoke. Smoke is the only one. Literally the only driver who's ever said no. It's the craziest thing. I can't go to any other sport and say that I have almost 100% certainty that that person will say yes. Believe me, there are a million guys in the NFL that will not do this show. There are a million guys in the NBA that will not do this show. There are lots of people across every sport that will not do the show. Tells me I'm doing my job. Tells me that no matter who you are, if you're on the air, people will hate you. No matter who you are, no matter how polarizing, no matter how flamboyant, no matter how vanilla, no matter who you are, if you're on the air, there will be people who don't like you. Period. I get that. But what I don't get is a sport where everybody wants to do it, except for one guy. It's amazing. I don't want him to change. If he ever were to come back, and he won't, believe me, he won't. The guy really does not like me. If Smoke were ever to come back and say, you know what, man, we're getting older. Let's bury the hatchet. The life's too short for grudges. I'll do it. I'll be so disappointed. Always better to have one person who won't do it. But it's true. A lot of these beefs work out over time. I've seen this. There are guys that I beefed with early in my career and beefed hard, and we're fine, and they come on. And then there's some beefs that never work out, which is also fine because I get that too. If I were somebody listening and I said what I said about them, I'm not sure that I would unbeef that either. Anyway, that's the explanation of that disclaimer. But all the guys in NASCAR, all those drivers show up. It's all true. They show up on time. They're happy to be there. They're very good with the fans and the media, and they promote. They promote their sponsors. They promote their sport. They promote their races. For a guy like me, it's a good thing. When we return, one open segment, and my thoughts on the UCLA Bruins who make it back to the U.S. I'm telling you, if it had been almost anybody else but those three, it would not have gone like that.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
If you need auto parts but you cannot get to the store just yet, head to O'ReillyAuto.com. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Something I have to address here, and I really can't wait to do it. My thanks to Brad Keselowski. I love the guy. I think he's a pro. All class. Represents himself, his team, his sport. Very, very well. I love the guy. This email says, hey, Jim, listening to the audio that you played, I believe that is from the Republican congressman that tackled the reporter the day before his election. So, yes, that absolutely sounds like a reporter's voice. And maybe Beckett has been taking some lessons. I bet Beckett was a linebacker in high school and simply wanted to relive his glory days. Frank in Sacramento. All right, here's a good part, too. Understand why I played that audio. It was in response to Drew in West L.A. Drew in West L.A. said, hey, Jim, if you play that exclusive audio that you obtained, you'll hear. All right, is that not a sign, or does that not kind of lead you to believe that there's nothing legitimate going on there? That's an emailer to the program suggesting that I play exclusive audio that I obtained. That's not a red flag right there to you. That's not like a signal that somebody should have a little bit of fun. Apparently not. Look, I would never ever accuse some of you of not being that bright. I would never accuse some of you of having an elevator that doesn't make it to the top floor. I would accuse some of you of being kind of gullible. And I would also ask the question, how do you follow this show? How do you follow along? How do you follow what we're doing? Because now you've got people that are trying to straighten me out. Now you have people trying to correct me, say, hey, Rome, that was not audio of Beckett the night that he flew across that stage and laid that cat out. That is, in fact, audio of a congressman. That's a politician. You're playing the wrong sound. There literally are people correcting me on email and also on Twitter. Hi, Jim. As an example, hi, Jim. I was listening to the show. It is good. However, I do believe that you were wrong in saying that that audio is from Josh Beckett's altercation with the country music band. Actually, I believe that audio is from a political candidate in Montana getting in an altercation right before the election. Just thought you should know. Thanks, Ray in Claremont. Thanks, Ray. And I think that you should know that the word should is not spelled S-H-U-L-D. Mix in or no. But thanks for clarifying that for me, Ray. Thanks for straightening me out, Ray. Thanks for having my back, Ray. Here's another one. That wasn't Beckett. That was that Republican candidate fighting a reporter. Get your facts straight. Get it right, Rome. Ted P. Get your facts straight. Get it right, Rome. Come on, Ted. How embarrassing do you look now?
So get your facts
straight. So many of you cannot wait for me to be wrong. So many of you cannot wait to shut me up. Right, Ted? Get your facts straight.
So get your facts
no
straight.
No way, Ted. Really? Really, Ted? That wasn't Beckett? I did not obtain exclusive audio. No way. That was a video or a piece of audio that went viral that the whole world know about, but not Jim Rome. Not the same Jim Rome that did a whole take on that on this show. Why would I know, Ted? But you got me, Ted. Get it right, Rome. Get your facts straight, Rome. Do your homework, Rome. You owe me an apology, Rome. Wake the hell up, Rome. How's that taste, Rome? Come on, Ted. Really? Really, Ted? You want to catch me in something that's factually incorrect? All the power to you. It'll happen at some point, just not right here. Yes, I know that that's Greg Gianforte. Yes, I know he was campaigning for a House seat in Congress in a special 2017 election. Yes, I know that he body slammed Guardian reporter Ben Jacobs in Bozeman, Montana during an event. Yes, I know there were local TV crews that documented it. Yes, I know that was the audio. Yes, I know, Ted. And the rest of you trying to correct me, of course. Do I look that stupid? I played it in response to Drew in West LA making a joke. God, how do you follow this show? You know, once in a while it comes up too. You know, the thing about that show is it's a little inside at times. Maybe. I have done it 30 years. There are lots of jokes that go way back. That was not an inside joke. That was not me trying to con anybody. That was not me trying to get over. That was me responding to an email from one of you. Wow, come on, really? Gotcha, Rome, you big dummy. Nice try, Ted. Hey, Ted, do you really think that for a second that I thought this was Josh Beckett? How about that music? Stop right there. How about the music that we had where I said that was the band playing? That also wasn't a cue to you, Ted, that I was just having a little fun? Come on, Ted. You really think that I would get on nationally syndicated radio with several thousand radio stations and 8 billion listeners and try to convince you this was, quote, exclusive audio from the Josh Beckett incident?
I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
Jesus. You just body slammed me and broke my glasses?
Have you seen the picture? I don't think that lead singer wore glasses. I know that guy didn't sound like Beckett. And I know that little banjo riff there is not the sound of live music. I'm telling you, and what does this go back to? What does this all come full circle on? Cough. Remember, I got in my head one day, I'm going to say the most absurd thing that I could ever say on the radio, and I know somebody will buy it. Just as an example, kind of like my guest today for my podcast. He wanted to do something to see if he can get away with it. I wanted to come up with the most absurd concept ever, say it on the radio, sell it, and see if anybody would buy it. So I said that I was coming up with a foundation. The Cockfighting Across America Foundation, where I was going to hold cockfights with roosters – and razor blades, and I was going to do it in many cities across this country to help keep kids off the street. And that was going to be my foundation, my way of giving back. And I want to see if anybody would buy that. And sure enough, my man Tony in Cleveland, hook, line, and sinker like Ted P right there.
I haven't been listening all that long, but I can't believe you're talking about this cockfighting stuff. You know, they fight to the death. They don't just fight.
Right.
Don't you think that's disgusting for kids to see?
No, not at all. What's the point?
Ridiculous, I think.
Ridiculous? You're calling you're calling me wanting to give something back to the community ridiculous. How is trying to help kids ridiculous? Let me ask you that.
You shouldn't even be allowed to talk about that.
How is
kids watching fighting to the death? You're crazy, man.
Tony, I'm not crazy, by the way. What I'm asking you is, how is helping kids ridiculous? If that's ridiculous, then yeah, I'm ridiculous.
That's not helping kids. It's hurting them, Rome. And he shouldn't be talking about it on the radio, man.
You imagine me setting up a foundation based on cockfighting to raise awareness and to keep kids off the street. I thought that was like the craziest thing ever, but I knew somebody would buy it, and somebody did. How about the time I got on the air and I played that same little game, and I said, quote, every father wants their daughter to get into porn. An absurd statement, right? Sure enough, people come into battle. That's it, Rome. Gotcha. This guy could not believe that I thought that and believed that.
Bill in Syracuse, you are next up. Nice to have you on the program.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
I'm great, Bill. What's up?
Jim, man, you got to be joking, man.
About what?
The porn industry, man. Are you serious, man?
Of course I'm serious. Every father wants serious is a heart attack.
What's going on, man?
What is going on? What do you mean?
Why would every father want their daughter in the porn industry, man? Do you want your kid in the porn industry?
What's going on, man? Why? I think I was like incredulous. Rome, why would every father want their daughter in the porn industry? Right, Bill, they wouldn't. So for all of you that are correcting me and saying, that's not audio from Beckett, Rome. That's not what that's from. That's Greg Gianforte. Right. I know. So if you get up every single morning and you wake up and you think, today's the day I nail that guy. Today's the day I get Rome and I catch him in something that he said that's factually incorrect. That day is coming. That day is coming. I've been wrong many, many times. I've owned it many, many times. You'll get that opportunity again. Just not today, losers. And not with that audio. How do you follow the show? How do you not know that that was a joke? You really think for a second I thought that was Beckett and that lead singer and that I had obtained exclusive audio with that banjo riff in the background? How many of you thought that but didn't send it? How many of you avoided that fate? How many of you are like, oh, damn, good thing I didn't send that to him? How many of you wanted to but were driving and couldn't tweet it? Consider yourselves lucky. Come on, man. You think I'm that stupid? Wake up. When we return. Yeah, but thanks for that, though. Thank you very much for doing that segment for me. That was an unplanned segment and one of the better ones of the day. Thank you for that. When we come back, Stanford Cardinal running back Bryce Love is going to join us. But first things first, let's get you a sports update. If you're waiting for that, here is the latest. Why pay more for annual protection motor oil when you can get Castrol Edge extended performance for less? It goes 15,000 miles between oil changes. Titanium strong Castrol Edge. It is more than just an oil. It is liquid engineering. Podcast Tuesday, episode 13 of the Jim Rome Podcast is going to drop later on today. My guest is Brian Fogle. It's going to be a great conversation. Make sure you look for that. You do not want to miss it. And I'm still getting some reaction to our last segment. I'm efforting Bryce Love, who I'm going to run down momentarily. Stanford running backs having a huge season. Heisman Trophy run and more. So that's coming up in just a few moments. In the meantime, if you want to call, you can. I did not get to the UCLA story. I've been trying to get there all day long. LeAngelo Ball, Jalen Hill, Cody Riley, flying back to L.A. and they could be on campus as soon as tomorrow. Moral of the story, if you're going to do something really, really dumb, and shoplifting in China right before your season opener qualifies as really, really dumb, if you're going to do that, make sure you do it in a week where the president is going to be there. Because normally that does not go like that. Normally, reportedly, it could take more than a month to find out whether or not you're even going to be charged. So they could have been, and probably should have been there, several more weeks. Several weeks before they even knew if they were going to be charged. And if they were going to be charged, you may as well skip right to jail because the prosecution has a 99% conviction rate there. So those three could have been looking at jail time and pretty serious jail time. Instead, they're back home. So they got over. And I'll finish that thought a little bit later on. But as promised, we're joined right now by a running back for Stanford. Had a huge game against number 9, Washington. He carried it 30 times, 166 yards, and 3 touchdowns Friday. The Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week for the third time this season. He is number 1 in the country in rushing yards per game, rushing yards per attempt. Also, number 1 in 20-yard rushes, 30-yard rushes, 40-yard rushes, and 50-yard rushes. 11 straight games with a TD. Stanford is number 20 in the AP poll. They're number 23 in the coaches poll. And you've got the big game Saturday. Cal at Stanford. Bryce Love is my guest. Bryce, really good to have you on. How are you?
Oh, I am doing great. You know, thank you for having me on the show. It's great to be in the jungle.
Bryce, it is great to have you in the jungle. Thanks for making time for it. You know, I mentioned that game you had against Washington, 30 carries, 166 yards. But, Bryce, that's against a defense that entered the game allowing the fewest yards and had only given up 3 rushing touchdowns all season. You had 3 Friday night. What was the plan going into the game in terms of how you wanted to attack that defense?
Yeah, I mean, we knew we had a challenge in front of us. You know, we studying the tape, you know, they were as advertised. You know, they were physical up front. That front 7 was, you know, really dominant, you know, fast linebackers that could flow well, smart guys in the secondary that weren't afraid to come down and hit. So we knew we had a challenge, and we knew we had to go out and play our brand of football. And, you know, that's just being physical from start to finish. And, you know, ultimately it paid off in the end.
Bryce Love joining us. Now, in terms of being physical, I know you'll downplay this, but the fact is you went into the game with an ankle injury that you've dealt with for quite some time. You seemed to aggravate it in the first half, but it did not slow you down. Head coach David Shaw was so impressed that he said afterwards, he goes out there from start to finish. He pours his heart out for his teammates. I don't know if you could ask anything more of a football player. I don't know if you could find a better football player in America than Bryce Love. End quote. So how much pride do you take in the fact that you were able to fight through the injury and not just fight through it, but to have a great game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, definitely thankful to Coach Shaw for, you know, even saying that. You know, in my mind, you know, it's all just for my teammates. You know, I knew going in at halftime that, you know, my first half, you know, wasn't amazing. You know, I kept going, having to go in and out. But mentally, you know, I just knew I had to lock in, you know, for my teammates. And, you know, that's really just, you know, who it's about. You know, I know I'm representing my city back home and thinking of all the things that motivate me. That's one of the big things that we talk about throughout the year is why we play the game and why we do this and why we do that. And, you know, I really locked on that. And, you know, I was just able to go out there and push through it for the guys around me.
Bryce Love joining us. So talk about that. I mean, you've got to have a purpose, right? You've got to connect everything to a great purpose. And this notion of why you play the game, why do you play the game? What is your purpose?
Yeah, you know, I play it for, you know, my family, you know, the people back home, you know, that have all, you know, poured something into me and, you know, really pushed me to, you know, just play at the level that I am now. You know, everybody who really just took time out to motivate me and, you know, take time and really just put things into me all left a really lasting impact with me. And, you know, I play and I try to go out and, you know, try to play with that mindset and that physicality to represent them.
You know, Bryce, you're a physical player, you're a skilled player, and of course, you have that great speed that we know. Now, when you mention your family, your father, Chris, was a sprinter, so the natural assumption that people make is the speed comes from him. How yeah. accurate is that, or does mom's get some of the credit for the speed as well?
Well, to be honest, if I didn't say my mom had at least 50%, she'd probably get mad at me.
Right.
So I'd definitely say some of it came from her, too, as well.
You know, you end up at Stanford, And that meant that you were going to be behind Christian McCaffrey on the depth chart. A lot of guys with your talent might have been bothered by that, maybe even looked to leave, but you didn't. And instead, you talked about how you tried to learn everything you could from him. What were some of the things that you picked up from watching McCaffrey?
I mean, the list, it's really just extensive, to be honest with you. I mean, there's just so many different little nuances. Just, I mean, in regards to the game, you know, just from watching him, from attacking a block or talking about a move in film or just different things like that. But I don't even really analyze it from the perspective of football, just how he carried himself. You know, it's cliche, but, you know, he was consistently that same competitive person in every way, you know, in the weight room, in the classroom. You know, he was always driven to be great. And, you know, it's big, you know, to see that, you know, for me coming out here, you know, being by myself and, you know, I'm a real mama's boy, so it was a big jump for me. But seeing that type of drive and understanding what it really took to accomplish the things you want to accomplish and do the things that you want to do really left impact with me that I still try for.
You know, I admire that you made that move. That's a big swing. You came out to California. You came out to Stanford. Like you said, you didn't really know anybody. You came out by yourself. What's that environment like? Because Stanford's like this magical place. It's an amazing place, a great academic institution. What's the vibe like on campus, and what's the experience been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just a chill type place, to be honest with you. I mean, it's like you just sit back and you realize sometimes that, you know, how, you know, blessed you are just to be here. You know, there's people here doing so many amazing things, and you have the Olympians just casually walking around, and, you know, people doing startups here and there, and everybody just is friendly with everybody, and everybody is just, you know, normal with everybody. I guess that's just the big thing, is just everybody around you is really driven to do amazing things. And when you get an entire campus like that, obviously it creates a different atmosphere, a different mentality. And, you know, we all try to uphold that Stanford standard.
All right, so now you've got Cal this weekend, and there are a lot of tremendous rivalries in college football. I think the fans know this is one of the great rivalries in college football. But even saying that, Bryce, I think it's underrated. I don't think that it gets nearly the credit or respect that it deserves in terms of ferocity. It is a fierce, fierce rivalry. What's it like to play in it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, you know, it's just really fierce. You know, we're definitely familiar with each other, and, you know, being a part of this program, you know, you definitely hear the history of the game. I'm sure you hear it over there as well, and you hear students on campus. You got the Hoover Tower with the red light on it. I mean, the fountains painted. You got the Beat Cal sign everywhere. And, you know, it's just an amazing atmosphere. And, you know, it really just motivates you to go out and compete, and you know you're going to get their best every time you go out there, and that's the big great thing about it.
Bryce, you're amongst the best and the brightest in the classroom. I'm curious, what are you studying, and beyond football, ultimately, life beyond football, when you get there, what do you want to do? Do you know yet?
Yeah, well, my ultimate goal is to do pediatrics or work in pediatrics. Right now my major is human biology, and, you know, in my mind, you know, I'm going to be pre-med until I'm not. So I still have a long way to go, but that's ultimately the goal.
It's a great way to look at it. All right, one last thought. Your name is coming up as one of the leading candidates for the Heisman. I know you're all about the team. You've made that really clear the last 5 or 10 minutes. But for just a moment, how does it feel to have your name linked with the Heisman?
Yeah, you know, it's a blessing, you know. It really, you know, puts things in perspective, and it's humbling just to even be mentioned, to be enough for the award. You know, I remember so many days, so many years just sitting there watching and not even knowing that it's a real thing, you know, just dreaming about it, just being a kid in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And it's amazing. Like I always say, you know, it's a testament to my teammates. I look at it as a team award, and, you know, if I could break off little pieces and spread it around, you know, I definitely would, because, you know, everybody around me deserves that same, you know, that same type of focus and concentration. And, you know, I'm just thankful to be out here. But at the same time, you know, I know we still got some odd weeks in the season, and, you know, we're just concentrating on going 1 week at a time, though, as well.
You bet. One last thought, because you mentioned North Carolina. Speaking of your time back then, I had Nyheim Hines on the show from NC State earlier this year. I know the two of you go way back. When did you first meet him, and what's that relationship like?
Dang. We probably met when we were I can't even put an age on it. I just know it was a long, long, long time ago. I mean, we were kids just out there playing around, running track. And, you know, it's funny because so many people, me or just me, like you said, Naheem, Marcus Marshall, Keith Marshall, my brother, Chris Love, you know, we grew up together. And, you know, we all had the same dreams and we all wanted to do so many of the same things. And just to go out and see, you know, us and see Naheem doing amazing things and seeing Marcus and Keith doing amazing things and my brother, you know, it's just, you know, it's just really special. And, you know, not knowing that it was feasible back then, but seeing us all accomplish it now, you know, it's truly amazing.
I would imagine, too, the best part is it's all good. It's all respect. It's all love, right? I mean, you're all coming from the right place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Stanford running back Bryce Love, my guest. You've got Cal at Stanford, the big game. Stanford's number 20 in the AP poll, number 23 in the coaches poll. Bryce, really appreciate you. Great to have you in the jungle. Thank you very much for doing that. Have an amazing weekend.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. And you know we appreciate that jungle karma.
You got it, Bryce. You earned it. You definitely earned it. Bryce Love, another class Stanford player. That bar is high now. That bar is high. That is not an easy thing. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be a pediatrician one day. I'm going to worry about this football thing. I'm pre-med until I'm not, is what he said. I'm pre-med until I'm not. So he's pre-med, studying biology, and one day looking to be a pediatrician, unless he wins the Heisman Trophy first. And he's got to look at that thing. He's had a huge season. Again, you look at the stats. Baker Mayfield may have the inside track right now, but if you look at these numbers, number one in the country in rushing yardage, rushing yards per game, rushing yards per attempt. And as I mentioned, number one in 20, 30, 40, and 50-yard rushes. And 11 straight games with a TD. And Stanford Cal, unless you're out here, you can't really appreciate how fierce that rivalry is. They don't like each other at all. That is such an underrated rivalry and such a great college football rivalry. Let's see. I've got a Beckett haiku submitted. A former pitcher, hold my beer, hey y'all, watch this, really hates Freebird. Francis and Glendale, the anti-clone, wore shrimp Bluetooths. Francis, that's one of the worst emails I've gotten this year. You know what you are? You're anti-good emails, Francis. You're anti-good content, Francis. Dollar Shave Club has got everything you need for your hair, your face, your skin, and shower. They have you covered from head to toe, and they deliver it to you just like they do their razors. Give the club a try today. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/Rome. My thanks to Bryce Love, Brad Keselowski, and Robert Woods. Podcast Tuesday, episode 13, drops a little bit later on today. Make sure you look for that on iTunes or jimrome.com. Brian Fogle is my guest. He's got an amazing story. So look for that later on. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm out.